due to my sins and offenses. I was too ill to offer any services to any of you. With your forgiveness and blessings, perhaps there will be some hope that I could receive the mercy of Srila Prabhupada and Sri Sri Gaurmitai. Today, we are celebrating one of the very important festivals of our Gaudiya Vaishnav tradition. Today is the disappearance day of Sripad Madhavendra Puri. I would like to begin by reading from the Adi Lila of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, where Srila Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami and Srila Prabhupada describe in brief the importance of Srila Madhavendra Puri in the lives of each and every one of us. Jaya Sri Madhava Puri Krishna Prema Pura Bhakti Kalpa Tharur Tenho Pratama Ankura. Jaya Sri Madhava Puri Krishna Prema Pura Bhakti Kalpa Tharur Tenho Pratama Ankura. Jaya Sri Madhava Puri Krishna Prema Pura Bhakti Kalpa Tharur Tenho Pratama Akur. All glories that the seed of devotional service first fructified. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Sri Madhavendra Puri, also known as Sri Madhava Puri, belonged to the disciplic succession for Madhvacharya and was a greatly celebrated sannyasi. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was the third disciplic descendant from Sri Madhavendra Puri. The process of worship in the disciplic succession of Madhvacharya was full of ritualistic ceremonies with hardly a sign of love of Godhead. Sri Madhavendra Puri was the first person in that disciplic succession to exhibit the symptoms of love of Godhead, and the first to write a poem beginning with the words, Ayi Dina Dayardra Nath, O Supremely Merciful Personality of Godhead. In that poetry, the seed of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's cultivation of love of Godhead. Of Srila Madhavendra Puri is for my own purification and for the purification of all of creation. Such a personality was praised in unlimited ways and unlimited times and places by the Supreme Lord Himself, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Lord Chaitanya personally stated again and again that Srila Madhavendra Puri is the root and the trunk of the tree of pure love of God. Srila Prabhupada describes in this purport how in the sampradaya of Sripad Madhvacharya, there is very pure study of the Vedas and performance of ritual. And even great pure devotees of the Lord. However, Madhvacharya descended into this world from the spiritual world and accepted initiation in Madhvacharya Sampradaya, and he was the first to manifest the ecstatic love of Sri Vrindavan Dham in the spontaneous mood of the gopis. Madhvacharya has such a super excellent, unique position within our sampradaya. At the time of his departure from this world, he was chanting a particular sloka, which we will discuss later on in today's discourse. That sloka was chanted by Srimati Radharani in her innermost feelings of ecstatic love in separation from Lord Shamsundar. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu tasted the nectar of that verse, it uncovered the door of his most intimate ecstasies of love of God. And it is well known that only three persons could understand the depths of this particular sloka: Srimati Radharani, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Srila Madhavendra Puri. As Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur explains in Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat, to try to elaborate the glories of the Lord and his pure devotees is impossible, because their glories are like the unlimited sky. But as a bird flies according to his capacity into the sky, each and every one of us must, as a prescribed duty in life, try to glorify the Lord and his devotees as much as we are possibly able to do. I would like to try to describe, with your permission and blessings, in chronological order, the various places that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu honored and worshipped Madhavendra Puri and his disciples, as it is described within Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita and Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat. We'll first read about the great pilgrimage of Lord Nityananda Prabhu when he was only 12 years old. He left his most loving mother and father, Hadai Pandit and Padmavati, went with an unknown sannyasi to travel to all the holy places of pilgrimage throughout India. While he was traveling in the western provinces, by the divine arrangement of Lord Sri Krishna, he met with Srila Madhavendra Puri. When Sri Nityananda Prabhu saw Madhavendra Puri, in great ecstatic love he offered his prostrated obeisances. Srila Madhavendra Puri embraced him. As they embraced, they both became so filled with love for each other and love for Krishna through the association of each other that Nityananda Prabhu fell unconscious. In reciprocation, Madhavendra Puri fell unconscious in ecstatic love. They laid there for some time. The disciples traveling with Madhavendra Puri were struck with wonder to see this loving relationship. When they got up, they held each other's necks and began to weep. How much they wept tears were flowing like rivers from their eyes, soaking the earth. The goddess of the earth considered herself most fortunate on that day to be bathed by the tears of these two great Paramhamsas. They rolled in the sand together, chanting the holy names of Krishna with choked up voices. Then somehow or other, Lord Nityananda Prabhu spoke. I have traveled to all the holy places of pilgrimage. Today, I am bearing the fruit of all of my visits to the holy places. Today, I am seeing the lotus feet of Srila Madhavendra Puri. Seeing the great spiritual love that he possesses, I consider myself to have received the supreme most fortune. Madhavendra Puri was so choked up, he could not even speak. All he could do is hold Lord Nityananda to his chest. He would not willing to let go of him even for a moment. As the two cried in great love, exhibiting such ecstatic symptoms, that the devotees of Madhavendra Puri, headed by Ishwara Puri, Brahmananda Puri, and others, they were struck with wonder. All they could do upon seeing this meeting was joyfully chant the holy names of the Lord. Both Nityananda Prabhu and Madhavendra Puri traveled for many years to holy places, but hardly anywhere did they find anyone who was a true devotee of the Lord. But on this day, they met each other, and all of their desires and aspirations were fulfilled for the association of a Vaishnava. This is the greatest longing of a devotee who is properly situated in Krishna consciousness, always longing and aspiring to be in the association of Vaishnavas. In fact, when Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked Srila Ramananda Rai, "What is the greatest distress that you know?" Ramananda Rai replied, "To be without the association of sincere and dedicated devotees is the only distress that I know." Madhavendra Puri was always floating in the ocean of ecstatic love of God. When he would see a dark-colored rain cloud, he would remember the beautiful complexion of Shyam Sundar, and he would immediately fall unconscious in ecstasy. When he would hear anyone say the name of Lord Hari, he would begin to scream in love. When he would be walking along the footpaths from one place to another, he was constantly dancing in great love, chanting the holy names. Sometimes he would fall unconscious for 3, 6, 9 hours with no symptoms of life in his body. In a single moment, Vrindavan Das Thakur explains, thousands of ecstatic symptoms would manifest in his body. He spoke to Lord Nityananda Prabhu. He said that in all of my travels, I have never seen the nature of your love for Krishna. Wherever you go, Lord Nityananda Prabhu, I can understand that that place is Vaikuntha. It is the residence of all the holy places. Today, Lord Krishna has shown his supreme mercy to me because he has given me the friendship of Lord Nityananda Prabhu. Wherever Lord Nityananda Prabhu resides, whoever sees him or hears from him will certainly achieve pure love of Krishna. And whoever has even one drop of hatred for Lord Nityananda, even though he be a devotee, he will never please Krishna. When Madhavendra Puri would speak on the glories and pastimes of Krishna, it was like no one else could speak. Nityananda Prabhu and Madhavendra Puri remained together for many days. They could not give up each other's association the whole time. They completely forgot any external consciousness. They did not know whether it was day or whether it was night. They were utterly absorbed in Krishna's lila, in the chanting of Krishna's holy names. It was with great effort and severe ecstatic pain that somehow or other, knowing the will of their missions, they had to part ways. Lord Nityananda Prabhu traveled toward Setu Banda, and Srila Madhavendra Puri traveled toward the holy river Sarayu. Sometime later, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu manifested his desire to begin his lila of establishing the Harinam Sankirtan movement. It was in his association with Ishwara Puri that he manifested his lila as a preacher. Ishwara Puri was one of the dearmost of the disciples of Madhavendra Puri. With such humility and devotion, he served his spiritual master, Madhavendra Puri, even to the extent of cleaning the stool and urine of his guru when his guru was so old and sickly that he could not move. Srila Prabhupada explains, when a great personality becomes sick or invalid like this, he is actually giving a chance for special service to his servants. So, he was blessed by Madhavendra Puri to be a great devotee and lover of Lord Krishna. He was constantly singing the names and pastimes of Krishna to his guru as he was leaving this world. Srila Ishwara Puri one time came to Navadvip, but he was so humble that he dressed in such a poor way, with the tattered cloths of a simple sannyasi beggar. No one could recognize what a great person he was. He came to the house of Advaitacharya. Advaitacharya was worshipping Lord Krishna, and Ishwara Puri sat right beside him, said nothing. Advaitacharya looked at him. He gazed again and again. This person looks so effulgent with love of God. Who may he be? And then he asked, "Who are you, and where are you coming from?" Ishwara Puri replied that, "I am the lowest, most fallen and sinful of all Sudras. I have come to see your lotus feet." Then Mukunda Dat began to sing beautiful kirtan. Ishwara Puri hearing the holy names of the Lord, and hearing the divine sound of his pastimes from the pure mouth of Mukunda, he began to exhibit such symptoms of ecstatic love that even Advaita Gadadhar and all the Vaishnavas were struck with wonder. All of them chanted and danced together because they knew that the great Ishwarapuri, the foremost of all disciples of Madhavendra Puri, has come into our association. He stayed for several months in Navadvip. One day, while walking down the bank of the Ganges, after teaching his students, the great Nimai Pandit happened to meet with Ishwarapuri. Ishwarapuri, upon seeing the beauty of every limb of the transcendental form of Nimai Pandit, his heart was so much attracted, he could not understand why. He asked, "Who are you? What is your name? What books are you reading? What do you teach? And where do you live?" The students replied to him, "This is Nimai Pandit." "Oh, you are that Nimai Pandit I have heard of." Lord Chaitanya bowed down at the feet of Ishwarapuri and prayed that he bless him by coming to his home to accept prasad. Lord Chaitanya brought Ishwarapuri to his own home. With his own lotus hands, he fed his devotee prasad cooked by Sachi Devi. Then they sat in the temple of Vishnu together and asked Ishwarapuri to speak on the glories of Lord Krishna. He spoke for many, many hours to the great joy of Nimai Pandit and his family and friends. Each day, Nimai Pandit would go to Gopinath Acharya's house where Madhavendra Puri was teaching from his book, the Krishna Lilamrita. Gadadhar Pandit, who was so humble and renounced from his very birth, became very, very dearly loved by Madhavendra Puri. One day, Ishwarapuri requested that, "Please, O great Nimai Pandit, you are a good scholar of grammar, please edit my book." Lord Chaitanya said that, "You are a pure devotee of the Lord. Whatever a pure devotee speaks or writes is perfect because it is pleasing to Krishna. Anyone who thinks there's a fault with what is spoken by a great devotee, that person is at fault." Ishwarapuri felt as he was splashed with nectar upon hearing the glories of devotional service. He said, "Please, there may be many mistakes. Please instruct." One day, as he was reciting Krishna Lilamrita, Lord Chaitanya told him that the word you are using, this particular word, it is not the correct verb. That night, Ishwarapuri, he meditated on what the Lord had said. And the next day he said to the Lord, "You are wrong. The verb I used is correct." Lord Chaitanya was the greatest pundit in all of the world. He was most expert at debate. All the greatest scholars on the planet assembled in Sri Navadvip. And he would very, very proudly challenge all of them to a competition of philosophy, grammar, and logic. And he would tear all of them to pieces. In fact, a little later, even the great Keshava Kashmiri came to Navadvip, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu effortlessly destroyed all of his pride. But on this particular day, Lord Chaitanya, with great happiness in his heart, accepted defeat from his own devotee. Sometime later, Lord Chaitanya went to Gaya. At the temple where the footprints of Lord Vishnu are enshrined, Lord Chaitanya heard the glories of the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu Gadadhar. And it was at that time that ecstatic love first manifested freely from his heart. At that very moment, Ishwarapuri appeared. Lord Chaitanya bowed down at his lotus feet and begged him, "Please give me Krishna. The only thing I desire is that you kindly give me devotion to Krishna." Ishwarapuri explained to Lord Chaitanya that ever since I saw you in Nadia, I am feeling the same happiness as seeing Krishna directly. I cannot get the thought of your beautiful form out of my mind, even for a moment. Therefore, I am convinced that you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is for certain. With Ishwarapuri's blessings, Lord Chaitanya performed the Shraddha ceremony. After which, he was cooking one day, and just when he finished cooking, Ishwarapuri happened to arrive. And Lord Chaitanya sat him down, and with his own hands he fed him the food that was meant for himself. The Mayavadis want to become God, but God himself wants to be the servant of his devotees. Therefore, there is no higher position in all of creation than to be the servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord, because even the Supreme Lord aspires for that position. One day in a secluded place, Lord Chaitanya inquired from Ishwarapuri, "Please give me initiation into the mantra." Ishwarapuri said, "You are the Supreme Lord. You ask for initiation. This is your inconceivable will. I will surrender my whole life to you." On that day, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, with all humility, accepted initiation from the disciple of the disciple of Madhavendra Puri. It is said that Ishwarapuri had within his heart all the love and compassion of his Guru Maharaj, Madhavendra Puri, because of his intimate service to him. After taking initiation, Lord Chaitanya begged from Madhavendra Puri, "Please give me Krishna consciousness. Please give me true devotion to Lord Krishna." It was Ishwarapuri, on behalf of his Guru Maharaj, Madhavendra Puri, who instructed Lord Chaitanya that go to every town, to every village, everywhere, and spread this Harinam Sankirtan movement, and give of love of God to the world. Upon hearing that instruction, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu returned to Navadvip and began the great Hare Krishna movement. Kevala Agnanda Kanda, the simple, sublime process of achieving love of Krishna by chanting, dancing, and feasting. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu performed his lila in Sri Navadvip Dham, and he was giving love of God to everyone and anyone without discrimination. But certain very proud Brahmins were very envious of the Lord. In fact, one day when the Lord was chanting the holy name of the gopis in the ecstatic mood of the gopis of Vrindavan in separation from Krishna, one of those students, he came to him and asked, Why are you chanting Gopi Gopi? What will you achieve from this? You should chant the names of Krishna. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in the mood of the separation of gopis, he became very angry. He said, why should I chant the name of Krishna? He has cheated us. He has left us. He is a thief who steals butter. In his incarnation of Ram, hiding behind a tree, he killed Bali. You want me to chant the name of Krishna? I will not chant the name of Krishna. You are a rascal. And he picked up a stick to chase that Brahmin. The Brahmin ran away. And somehow Lord Chaitanya's devotees contained him. And then the Brahmin told the other very proud so-called learned Brahmins, and they started making propaganda against Lord Chaitanya. It was at that time that Lord Chaitanya decided that he should take the renounced order of life. As a sannyasi, everyone will bow down to him, and whoever bows down to him will be delivered from the repetition of birth and death. This is one of the most wonderful stories. In fact, I'm so inspired by this thought of this story that if you give permission, on the morning of Gaur Purnima, we will discuss the story of Lord Chaitanya's acceptance of sannyas, which is the supreme expression of renunciation for the benefit of the most fallen living beings. By hearing this narration, one can understand to some extent the degree of compassion of the Lord when he comes in his most munificent and magnanimous incarnation of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It was at that time that Keshava Bharati Maharaj visited Sri Navadvipa. Srila Prabhupada describes that Keshava Bharati Maharaj was a sannyasi in the line of Shankaracharya, in the Bharati Sampradaya. However, Srila Prabhupada describes that it is said that Keshava Bharati was a disciple of Srila Madhavendra Puri, and therefore he was possessed with great ecstatic love for Lord Krishna. In Navadvip, Lord Chaitanya discussed with Keshava Bharati Maharaj his plans to renounce the world as a sannyasi, and asked him to give initiation. All the plans were made. Sometime later, on the evening of Maraka Sankranti, Makara Sankranti, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left his home. He swam across the river Ganga, and there he walked all the way to Katva. This great disciple of Madhavendra Puri was approached by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He bowed down and prayed, please accept me as your disciple. Give me initiation and let me become a servant of Lord Krishna. At the time of initiation, after the tragic haircutting ceremony, Lord Chaitanya said to Keshava Bharati Maharaj that I had a dream where a great personality whispered this mantra into my ear. Is this the mantra you want to give me? Then Lord Chaitanya whispered a mantra into the ear of Keshava Bharati Maharaj. Keshava Bharati Maharaj, he said, this is the best of all mantras. This is the mantra that I will give you in initiation. Lord Chaitanya first, as the Supreme Lord, initiated his devotee, and then in the role of a devotee, he accepted that mantra from his spiritual master in the form of his devotee. After the sannyas ceremony was complete, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was mad in the ecstasy of love. He began to dance. So much he danced that he lost his danda and his kamandalu. Then he lifted up Keshav Bharati Maharaj and embraced him. They both started dancing. How they danced! Keshav Bharati Maharaj, who was a very staunch sannyasi, so strictly following all the regulative principles, was so much float in the ocean of the waves of love of God that he lost his danda and kamandalu. They were dancing and dancing and dancing together, embracing and crying and weeping. Their hairs were standing on end. Their complexions were becoming pale. Their limbs were trembling. They were falling unconscious, getting up. And all the devotees around, in great amazement and love, were loudly chanting the holy names of God. They danced throughout the entire night. The next morning, Lord Chaitanya said to Keshav Bharati Maharaj, "I will go to Vrindavan to meet with Lord Krishna Chandra." Keshav Bharati Maharaj said, "I will go with you. Please come." Along with Mukunda, Chandrasekhar, Nityananda, Jagadananda Pandit, they all started traveling together toward Vrindavan. All the while, Keshav Bharati Maharaj was leading the way, dancing and chanting in great ecstasy. At a certain place, Lord Chaitanya told Keshav Bharati Maharaj that you should return to your ashram in Katva. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted initiation from a disciple of Madhavendra Puri. Then he accepted sannyas from another disciple of Madhavendra Puri. After taking sannyas, Lord Nityananda Prabhu tricked Lord Chaitanya to go to Santipur instead of Vrindavan, because he knew in the heart of the Lord, his greatest desire was to please his devotees. And his devotees, headed by Advaitacharya, Sachi Devi, Srivas, Gadadhar, they were on the verge of death and separation upon hearing the news that the Lord had left Navadweep to shave his sika, to shave his hair and take sannyas. In Santipur, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu met Sachi Devi, and her and the devotees decided that Lord Chaitanya should go to Puri. He traveled to Jagannath Puri. On the way, they place Remuna. There they saw the beautiful deity of Kir Chor Gopinath. Gopinath, who stole the kir for his devotee. Lord Chaitanya offered his prostrated obeisances at the lotus feet of the deity. At that very moment, a garland of flowers fell from the helmet of Gopinath right around the neck of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Upon seeing the beauty of Lord Gopinath, Lord Chaitanya and all of his devotees danced throughout the entire day, sweetly singing the holy names of Lord Krishna. It was in that very holy place that the great historical event, where Lord Chaitanya personally tasted the sweetness of glorifying Madhavendra Puri with his own mouth. He explained to the devotees the story that he personally heard from his spiritual master Ishwara Puri about his Param Guru. Lord Chaitanya's narration commenced. Madhavendra Puri was such a great and humble devotee. He traveled throughout many of the holy places. In fact, wherever his lotus feet touched, that became the most holy of all holy places. Alas, he came to Sri Vrindavan Dham. He traveled through the 12 forests. Alas, he came to Govardhan. Srila Madhavendra Puri performed the Govardhan Parikrama. Then he came to Govindakund. At Govindakund, he sat under a tree, silently chanting the holy names. After some time, a most beautiful little cowherd boy approached him with a pot of milk in his hands. He said, "Oh, Swamiji, who are you? I have come to give you this milk because I believe that you have been fasting all day. Why do you fast?" Madhavendra Puri was so struck with ecstatic love to see the beauty of this mysterious little boy. He asked, "Who are you, and how did you know that I am fasting?" The little cowherd boy said, "I am from this village, and in my village no one fasts. Some people beg, and we supply all of their needs. Other people just take little bit of milk. And those who are too humble to even beg, we personally supply whatever they need. Please take this milk. The ladies who have taken water from Govindakund, they have been watching you, and they told me that you were fasting, and they have given me this milk to deliver to you. Now it is time for me to go milk the cows, so I must go. I will come back to take the milk pot from you." The little cowherd boy disappeared. Madhavendra Puri drank the ambrosial nectar of this milk. Then he washed the pot and sat under this tree, waiting for the little cowherd boy to return. However, he did not return. Throughout the night, Madhavendra Puri was so agitated with ecstatic love of God, he could not sleep. Sometimes we cannot sleep at night, but usually it is due to other types of agitations. But this is what we are striving to achieve. Sleepless nights due to too much ecstasy of love of God. Just toward the end of the night, when the morning was about to begin, Madhavendra Puri entered into a state of deep internal consciousness. He had a dream. That same little cowherd boy came before him, took him by the hand, and said, "Please follow me." He took him into the forest where there was thick bushes. He said that in these bushes I have been residing for a long time, waiting for you. The heat of the sun has scorched me. There has been freezing cold and showers of rains. All this time, I have been waiting for Madhavendra Puri to come to serve me. I have been watching you very carefully. Please, bring the villagers of Brajbhumi. Get them to take me out of this forest. I have been put here because the priest who was worshipping me heard that the Muslims were coming to attack. So he hid me here, and out of fear, he fled and never came back. My name is Gopal. I was originally installed here by Vajra, the great grandson of Krishna. I am the lifter of Govardhan Hill. And in this place, I am the authority. Please build a temple for me on top of Govardhan Hill. And bathe me with unlimited buckets of water from Govinda Kund to refresh me. This is my desire. Then Madhavendra Puri woke up. He understood that that little cowherd boy who came to bring him milk was none other than his worshipable Lord Krishna, but he did not recognize him. He did not offer him proper respect or worship. Feeling like this, he began to weep. He fell on the ground in ecstatic love. Simultaneously repenting that he did not serve the Lord and rejoicing upon the mercy he received from the Lord. He remembered the instruction that the Lord gave him. A devotee is not concerned with his own ecstasy. A devotee is not so much concerned with repentance. A devotee's main concern is simply how to please the Lord by performing service. There are many wonderful stories amongst the devotees of Lord Chaitanya where they even condemned ecstatic symptoms if they got in the way of performing their service efficiently for the pleasure of the Lord. Madhavendra Puri immediately went to the town of Aniyore. There he told the villagers that Govardhanadhari has appeared. He's within the bushes. He has told me this truth. Come with your sickles and hatchets and let us clear the way. So there was very, very thick bushes. Somehow or other they cleared the way. And there when they came in the midst, at the very place that the little cowherd boy showed him, they were struck with wonder. To their great satisfaction, laying there in the ground was the beautiful form of Gopal, covered with the dirt of Brajbhumi. He was very heavy. The strongest of the Brijabasis, with great efforts, they lifted him up and brought him to the top of Govardhan Hill, where they made an altar out of the stones of Govardhan Hill. Soon the whole village came to celebrate the installation of Sri Gopal Dev. What a wonderful festival it was. Madhavendra Puri directed everyone. First they bathed Gopal with the water of Govinda Kund. Then, with sandalwood and freshly scented oils, they anointed his body to make it very shiny. Next, they bathed him with 900 buckets from Govinda Kund. Then they bathed him with Panchagavya, a combination of separately, the milk from the cow, the yogurt from the cow, ghee from cow, and the dung and urine of the cow. After Panchagavya Abhishek, they performed Panchamrit Abhishek. Milk, yogurt, ghee, sugar, and honey. After that, they unlimited buckets of water with ghee in it. And then more unlimited buckets of water with fresh scented water called the Mahasnan. Then after drying the Lord, Madhavendra Puri again put scented oils to make his body very shiny. The people from the surrounding areas came with garments, jewels. Madhavendra Puri dressed the Lord, put ornaments on him. There were beautiful flowers, fresh forest flowers from Govardhan Hill, that were made into garlands that Madhavendra Puri decorated him with. Then the cooking began. The village brought the entire stock of all their food for this feast alone. It is said that Krishna doesn't see how much you give. He sees how much you hold back. And this is why the Brijabasis are so dear to Krishna, because they hold back nothing. Kaviraj Goswami explains that no one is more fortunate than the residents of Vrindavan, because they have given everything for the pleasure of Krishna. They hold back nothing, therefore they are so intimately dear to Lord Krishna. There was 10 Brahmins cooking grains, 5 Brahmins cooking sabjis, 5 to 7 Brahmins cooking chapatis and covering them with ghee. They presented before Gopal mountains and mountains of sabjis and sweets and grains. When the residents of Brajdham saw this, they were thinking, this is the reenactment of the wonderful pastime of the Anakut that Krishna performed just before he lifted Govardhan Hill. Madhavendra Puri made the offering. Massive, massive offering of bhoga. Then he personally offered the arti. Then he had arranged a bed made, and Madhavendra Puri personally arranged Gopal to take rest. He covered the platform, and then he told the devotees to distribute all the prasad. First distribute to the Brahmins, and then distribute to everyone and anyone without discrimination. And thus the great Anakut pastime took place under the supervision of Srila Madhavendra Puri. After the deity took rest and all the devotees were fed, Madhavendra Puri himself just took a very small amount of a milk preparation. Hearing about this festival, the other villages of Braja, they came and said, we want to perform this Anakut ceremony also. Every single day a different village came. Every day the village brought the entire stock of all their grains, all their vegetables, all their milk products, all their spices, everything cooked throughout the entire day. It is only by the mercy of Gopal that each and every day so much prasad was cooked in only a matter of a day. How long would it take to cook all the food in Pune? By the mercy of Kunja Bihari, it can be done in one day, if the people of Pune were so surrendered to give everything. But in Krishna consciousness, Srila Rupa Goswami explains that whatever you give to Krishna, never you think yourself to have lost anything. Give the best you have, the best of everything you have to Krishna. You will not lose, but you will gain the greatest fortune, the treasure of Krishna's favor. There is no greater wealth than to please Krishna. That is the only standard of success in the life of a devotee. Days, weeks, months went by. Every day there was such a grand festival for Gopal. Sometimes people think, how you Hare Krishna people have so many festivals? But what are we doing compared to Madhavendra Puri? He had such a festival every day. And when all the villages of Vrindavan celebrated the festival, then other provinces surrounding Vrindavan, they were begging Madhavendra Puri, please let us surrender everything of our village for the pleasure of Gopal. Madhavendra Puri initiated the Brahmins who were performing the service and trained them in pure devotional service. After some time, two very pure Vaishnav Brahmins came from Bengal, and Madhavendra Puri initiated them and entrusted to them the deity worship. These festivals went on for two continuous years. At the end of the second year, Madhavendra Puri had another wonderful dream. Gopal appeared before him and said, "My dear Madhavendra Puri, I was sitting in the heat for so long before you came. Still, I am not feeling sufficiently refreshed. I require that you go to Jagannath Puri to get sandalwood from the Malayan hills. Only you could personally perform this service." Madhavendra Puri then trained his disciples and entrusted the deity worship to them. And then alone, he began his travel to Sri Jagannath Puri by foot. As he was walking, he was exhibiting the most intimate ecstasies of love of God. It is described that he was so filled with Krishna consciousness that joy was unendingly swelling up from the core of his heart. But simultaneously, he was suffering to see the fallen condition of humanity. He saw that people who were so-called religious, they were generally worshipping the goddess Mangala Chandi, an expansion of Durga Devi, for wealth and family life, with no concern for what is beyond death. All the pleasures of this world will be abrupt. Terminated at the time of death. So why should we invest all of our energy in what is unconditionally guaranteed to be stripped away from us either today or tomorrow? The human form of life is so rare. It is the precious opportunity after 8,400,000 species of suffering in this world to achieve the ecstatic love of Krishna. When a devotee sees human beings wasting their life, that brings tremendous aggrievement to their hearts. When he sees people enjoying material opulence, that even gives a devotee more suffering in the spirit of compassion. Such people are in such an intoxicated state of illusion that it is practically impossible for them to surrender to Krishna. The suffering condition of material life broke the heart of Madhavendra Puri. People were worshipping Shasti. People were worshipping so many gods and goddesses for material benefits. Even the greatest scholars speaking from the scriptures would never discuss pure devotional service. And practically nowhere did Madhavendra Puri hear the Yuga Dharma, the congregational chanting of Krishna's holy name. Seeing these materialistic people, Madhavendra Puri was feeling so much anxiety. They were so much attached to material life that he was looking for sannyasi to associate with. Then he found some sannyasis. And when he went to speak Harikatha with the sannyasis replied, I am Narayan. Namo Narayana. Then he wanted nothing to do with sannyasis either. He was thinking, I will enter the forest. I cannot tolerate seeing how human beings are abusing the precious gift of human life. He was simply longing and longing and longing for the association of a true Vaishnava. He came to Santipur. There he visited the house of Sri Advaita Prabhu. When Advaitacharya saw Srila Madhavendra Puri at his doorstep, he welcomed him into his house. He offered his obeisances at the lotus feet of Srila Madhavendra Puri. Madhavendra Puri embraced him. He bathed the body of Advaitacharya with his tears. Advaitacharya also was feeling so much separation from a real Vaishnava. Together, Madhavendra Puri and Advaitacharya shared the intimacies of the love of true Vaishnavas. That love is the love of the spiritual world. When devotees learn to love each other, that is the love of the spiritual world, because it is centered around inspiring, encouraging one another to remember Krishna, to dedicate their lives to the service of Krishna. There is nothing more sweeter and pleasing to the soul than this type of association of devotees. Lord Kapila Dev explains, the same propensity that the heart has to love someone, to be friends with someone, you will be satisfied if you dovetail that propensity toward the sadhus. By loving the Vaishnavas, we naturally develop love for Krishna. Advaitacharya and Madhavendra Puri were embracing and dancing and singing and discussing Krishna for many days. It was at that time that Advaitacharya, with great humility, appeal to Madhavendra Puri, please grant me initiation. Srila Madhavendra Puri not only instructed Advaitacharya in the science of the mellows of pure devotional service, but he initiated him to be his disciple. Madhavendra Puri continued his journey. He stopped at the village called Remuna. There he heard about the deity of Gopinath. He offered his obeisances to Gopinath. Then, upon seeing Gopinath, Madhavendra Puri began to sing the glories and the names of Krishna and dance in ecstasy before him. Wherever Madhavendra Puri went, even if he was alone, walking down the street, living in a house, he would just dance and chant as an expression of love. He was dancing and dancing throughout the day before Gopinath. And then it was time for an offering. He was thinking. He heard. That very special prasad was offered, or bhoga, was offered to Gopinath. In his mind he was thinking, if I can find out what they cook and how they cook it, then I can bring that same preparations to cook for Gopal when I return to Vrindavan. So he asked one Brahmin about the various offerings that are made. Just at that time, the offering began. And the Brahmin explained that at this time there is an offering of sweet rice.
Gopinath is famous throughout the world for this sweet rice. Its taste is unparalleled. Therefore, it is called Amrita Keli, because it is like nectar. It is offered in 12 earthen pots at this time of the day, every day. Madhavendra Puri was thinking in his selfless mood of devotion, if only I could make this offering to Gopal, how much he will be happy. If I can just taste one small part of this sweet rice, I will know how to prepare it for Gopal. Madhavendra Puri then realized, I am thinking of tasting the Lord's bhoga while he's still eating it. How condemned I am.
After the offering, there was the aarti. Madhavendra Puri stayed for the aarti. As soon as it was over, with a very embarrassed heart, he silently left and went to a secluded marketplace. There he chanted the holy names. The pujari took the offering off of the altar, put Gopinath to rest for the afternoon, and then he himself went to take rest. As the pujari was resting, Gopinath appeared to him in dream. He said, oh, my pujari, you do not know what kind of trick I played today. Today I stole one pot of sweet rice from my devotee, Madhavendra Puri. I hid it behind the cloth curtain. Now you come at once, and you collect that pot of sweet rice that I stole, and you go to the marketplace, and you find Madhavendra Puri and give this to him. The pujari immediately got up from his sleep, took his bath, opened the door of the altar, looked behind the cloth curtain, and sure as day, there was one pot of sweet rice, the pot that was stolen by Gopinath. And from this day to today, over 500 years later, he is known and celebrated as Kir Chor Gopinath. And what does this name mean? It means this is the super excellent, inconceivable nature of the Lord's love for his devotee. He took that pot of sweet rice and went into the marketplace. Throughout the village of Ramona, he was calling out very loud, Madhavendra Puri, O great devotee Madhavendra Puri, Gopal has personally stolen this pot of sweet rice for you. Please come, Madhavendra Puri. You are the most fortunate person in all the world. Take this sweet rice. He was calling it out. The whole village of Ramona understood, who is this great soul? Madhavendra Puri was in a solitary place. When he heard his name calling, he came forward. The pujari immediately offered dandavats. Then he explained the whole story of how Gopinath had stolen the sweet rice for him. Madhavendra Puri cried upon seeing the pujari. The pujari cried upon seeing Madhavendra Puri. It was a great union of two Paramhamsa Vaishnavas. Madhavendra Puri ate that sweet rice in ecstasy. Then he washed the earthen pot and broke it up into small pieces, wrapped it up in a piece of cloth, and kept it with him. Every single day after that, he would take a small portion of that earthen pot to eat. And while he would eat it, he would remember the mercy of Gopinath upon him, weeping and crying in ecstatic love. Madhavendra Puri was thinking that soon the whole village of Ramona will hear about this miracle that was performed. They will think I am a great soul, and they will come to honor me. Madhavendra Puri did not like any pratishta,
any honor or reverence toward him. He wanted all honor and reverence to be for Krishna and the Vaishnavas. So Madhavendra Puri, without saying anything to anyone, just at the end of the night, he secretly left Remuna. Wherever he went, he was always trying to escape people from praising him. Alas, he came to Jagannath Puri. But by the will of the Lord, his reputation came with him. Everyone in Puri realized, who is this Madhavendra Puri? He's the Madhavendra Puri that Gopinath stole the pot of sweet rice for. He went to see Jagannath, Balaram, and Subhadra. He danced in ecstasy, chanting the holy names. All the townspeople of Purushottam Kshetra came to honor him. He didn't like this, but he understood that real renunciation is to accept whatever is favorable for the service of the Lord and his devotees. So since he was so honored and everyone wanted to serve him, he explained to the priests of Jagannath about the order he received from Gopal. Immediately, they made all kinds of arrangements to get sandalwood and camphor. A devotee is always in the spirit of service. A devotee should hate the propensity to enjoy within himself or herself. Pratishta, or honor and praise, is one of the greatest pitfalls in the life of an aspiring devotee. As we become more renounced, more learned, more advanced in Krishna consciousness, people may come to honor us and respect us. If we think that any of our attributes belong to us, we are in a fallen state. Krishna is the ability in man. Krishna is the intelligence of the intelligent. We should always see that it is only by the grace of Guru and Krishna that I can do anything, say anything, or think anything. However, when honor and respect comes to a real Vaishnava, he will somehow or other see if it can be used in the service of Krishna and the Vaishnavas. Thus Madhavendra Puri inspired the priest to collect 82 pounds of sandalwood and about 8 ounces of camphor. They packed it nicely, gave him one Brahmin and another assistant, plus all kinds of papers, like certificates, to help Madhavendra Puri cross the dangerous lands back to Vrindavan. Do you know how dangerous it is? In those days especially, sandalwood and camphor was such a precious commodity. It was under government regulation. And walking 1,000 miles, all the lands between were controlled by Muslims who were oftentimes very militantly against Hindus. There were highway robbers, thieves, and dacoits. But Madhavendra Puri fearlessly began the journey back to Vrindavan. He did not care whether it means his life or death. He was simply depending on the mercy of Gopal to help him to fulfill his mission. His mind was fixed unconditionally on performing the order, the service to fulfill the order of Lord Krishna. On his way back, he came to Remuna.
There he saw the beautiful form of Gopinath. The priest was so happy to see him, they embraced, and the priest brought him the kheer, prasad of Gopinath. Madhavendra Puri spent the day chanting and dancing with the devotees there, discussing Krishna Katha. The next morning he was to leave for Vrindavan. But that night he had a third dream. In this dream, Gopal of Vrindavan appeared to him and said that you are accepting so much hard labor for me. It is very dangerous for you to travel to Vrindavan with all this heavy weight of valuable sandalwood. There is no need for you to take this great risk, because Gopinath and me are the same person. Although we have two bodies, we are the same. If you anoint the body of Gopinath with this sandalwood and camphor, I will feel cool in Vrindavan. Madhavendra Puri woke in the morning and told the pujaris about the dream. They were very, very happy. He told them, my two servants, and also I have some money. They gave me some puri. We can hire two other of your servants to spend the whole day grinding this sandalwood and camphor. It was the beginning of the summer season. For the entire months of the summer season, every single day, Gopinath's body was completely covered with the sandalwood and camphor pulp. And Gopal experienced all the pleasure of Madhavendra Puri's love. At the end of that 2 months, Madhavendra Puri decided to return to Jagannath Puri for the Chaturmasya. As Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was explaining this wonderful story, he was explaining the glories of Madhavendra Puri as if he had many, many, many mouths. At that time, the offering came off the altar. And the priests of Gopinath gave Lord Chaitanya all 12 pots. Lord Chaitanya took 5 of those pots, 4 for his devotees who were traveling with him and 1 for himself, and he gave the other 7 to the pujari to distribute to the people. Then they tasted the nectar of that sweet rice. And as they were tasting the nectar of the sweet rice, with great love, they were glorifying the devotional service of Srila Madhavendra Puri. From Remuna, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to Jagannath Puri. After some time, he had delivered Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. He decided that he wanted to deliver all the provinces of the southern and western parts of India with Krishna Prema through Harinam Sankirtan. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told his devotees that my brother Vishwarup, long ago he left home to take sannyas. I want to search for him. With this plea, he explained his decision to make a pilgrimage to South India. Lord Chaitanya with Kalakrishna Das began their journey. In Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is described the first place he visited was Kurmakshetra. The next place he visited was Singhachalam. The next place was Kavur, where he met Ramananda Rai. The next place was Mangalagiri. The next place was Shishaila. And the next place was Ahovalam. During our South India Yatra, Our plan is to go exactly in the footsteps of Lord Chaitanya. From Kurmakshetra to Singhachalam, to Kavur, to Mangalagiri, to Ahovalam. Great holy places of Lord Nrsingadev. And from there he went to Tirupati, which we may also. Hare Krishna. Of course, he walked and will be taking trains and buses. It's not exactly in his footsteps, but we are, according to our requirements, we are following in his footsteps. So we'd like to invite everyone, please take into consideration this wonderful South Indian Yatra. Singhachalam is the Kurmakshetra, is where the Lord delivered the Kurma Brahman and Vasudev the leper. It is the place of the deity of Kurma that Ramanujacharya, he was thrown there by Lord Jagannath because he was thinking that the pujaris were not worshipping properly. And when he got there, he started fasting because he thought it was a deity of Shiva. But then when he found out it was Kurma, he ate nice feast. Singhachalam is in Vishakhapatnam. The deity is so ferociously angry with the demons and the atheists that they have to keep his body covered in thick layers of chandan every day. Otherwise, everyone is tortured. It is explained if the pujaris do not cover his body like that, they die. Except one day a year, Akshaya Kadasi, he mercifully reveals himself. And Kavur is the place on the bank of Godavari where Lord Chaitanya had his most intimate and instructive discussion with Srila Ramananda Rai. Mangalagiri is the deity of Lord Narasimhadev that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu visited. He accepts wonderful, wonderful offerings of gur in his mouth and gives it as prasad. Ahovalam is the place where, in this particular yuga, Hiranyakashipu had his palace and where Narsingadev came out of the pillar to kill him. And Tirupati is the place of Balaji. So, with Krishna's grace, we hope to visit all these places. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu eventually came in the southern part of India to Sri Rangam. There he spent the 4 months of Chaturmasya at Venkata Bhatt's house. And there he delivered Gopal Bhatta Goswami and Prabodhananda Saraswati. From Sri Rangam he went to a place called Rishab Hill, which is not far from Madurai. At Rishab Hill, one of the great disciples of Madhavendra Puri had performed his tapasya for Chaturmasya.